Welcome to the NLC Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into quarterback snap reactions for Week 16 as we head towards Championship Week. And I think one of the keys here that I want to look at is just some of the, over the last month or so, it's been a lot of changing landscapes and that sort of thing. I just want to look at some of the expected points and performance related to in this edition. So just to give you an idea of like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about these couple lineup decisions, you know, in Superflex, you're probably not making a ton of decisions, honestly. Maybe in your start ones you are, but, you know, it could give you, and even if you're not necessarily making a ton of decisions at the running back position, the quarterback position between different guys, having an understanding of their ranges of outcomes might give you a different perspective on other parts of your lineup. So I do think from that perspective, it is important. So the leader here in the clubhouse with expected points here over the last four games has been Josh Allen, 30.8. I'm using the safe league scoring too. This is 6-point passing touchdowns and 4-point interceptions. So that's his mark there. And then so 30.8, and then he's performing at 28.7. So good performances there. I think it's interesting. He's down basically about 3 touchdowns. He's actually down in some yards too, but he's overperforming in the rushing area. So there could be some growth. I think it's interesting that it's still that high with the fact that you're missing a game here from Gabe Davis. You're missing a game from Cole Beasley. You're probably going to miss another one from both of those guys. Isaiah McKenzie comes in and plays well. Like you've got some pretty good supporting cast players, particularly Isaiah McKenzie coming in and playing well this past week. There are other ways to go about it, and his rushing floor, it can be really high for a really high-end passer as well. So that gives you that unique and rare combination. Just by way of reference, you sort of measure it out. The next two guys closest to him in expectation are Huntley and Dalton as per game over the past month again. The next one you come down to that's really an everyday and every week starter is Justin Herbert at 26.1. So again, that's 4.7 points above expectation for Herbert. Just, you know, another guy that's sort of in the what I would consider like the AOD orbit, if you will. Patrick Mahomes, 19.6 expected points per game. Just to think of the difference there, it's more than 11 points difference in terms of their expected scoring. That's a big difference, and of guys that have played during that time span, Mahomes is quarterback 22 in that. So big difference there between those guys. Again, guys that were up at the top level. I think part of that might be, you know, with Mahomes, they're playing a little bit better defense. They're doing some other things. He's overperforming it by all means. He's overperforming it, and actually Allen's underperforming it slightly. So they're only about 4 points total away from each other per game. But you sort of get the idea there. Really, really high floor and ceiling for Allen. And then there's a lot of ways to miss there and still be excellent. And that's kind of where he's at right now. So Herbert to 26.1. Again, this is interesting because you got some guys in and out, right? This is the game, you know, you lost Parham. You lost Mike Williams for a stretch in there as well. I think you lost Keenan Allen for a stretch in there as well. So Herbert playing at a really high level, you know, that bodes well for him. And I think he's really checking the box here on future success as well. This is certainly a situation where coming into the season, I said, you know, let's hold our, you know, we don't need to spend a first-round startup pick on a good but not necessarily great profile. Now it's turning to great. And honestly, the price probably is not going to go up. You know, because you're going to get competition from guys like Burrow, I'm sure. You're going to get competition from some other guys, you know, Murray, Lamar, you know, and the like, where his cost really isn't going to go that much higher. And I think you might get some receivers up there. You know, you might get some other positions up there as well. Like, it's going to be a couple picks away. And honestly, that saves you a couple of rounds of risk. I mean, that's really the thing about Dynasty that I think is a big deal. You know, you take the shots on certain guys and where you have a lot of certainty, a lot of faith, and, you know, wait a year on guys. You know, we're playing for the long haul. We're trying to make consistently good bets long term. I think waiting on Herbert was a really good example of that. And listen, now, could you put him up in the top 3-4 at the position? Absolutely. I mean, I would probably feel, you know, as good as him up there with, you know, he's in the tier after Mahomes. I think after Mahomes, it's going to be, you know, Allen, Herbert, Dak, Watson, you know, a healthy, non, you know, embroiled in sex scandal Deshaun Watson, but those guys, and then I do think there's you know, some bit of a tier after that too. You know, who else do you want to include in that? Like, I'd hold back a little bit on Burrow. Again, he fits into that Herbert situation for me a little bit. I just want to see another year of good development. And just because, you know, one of the things from the book that I found is like those steps are significant in terms of measuring future outcomes. So that's certainly something that I take. I think that's a place to be prudent with patience there, because honestly the consequences of waiting an extra year aren't that. I'd much rather pay up. Like I'm the Dallas Cowboys of the quarterback position. I'd rather see it another year and pay for that reveal than to be, you know, the Eagles where I'm trying to ship off a bad contract, or the Rams where I'm trying to ship off a bad contract. I'd much rather be in that Dallas position. That's just much, much better the way I'd rather be. And you weren't penalized for that either. Right? You had plenty of other ways to sort of take similar bets at, or even cheaper bets on a guy like Herbert. So some interesting stuff there. Again, you know, Burrow and those guys are going to be in that. Like, again, I think it's pretty consolidated up there in the top. We'll do a full show about that after. But I think Herbert definitely makes that leap. Aaron Rodgers, fifth in terms of expected points. Again, you're including Huntley and Dalton above him. So in terms of regular starters, that's three. Murray's four. And this is, again, I'll just read on the regular starters. So Allen's one, Herbert's two, Rodgers is three, Murray's four, Hurts is five, Fields, if you want to call him a regular starter, six, Cousins is seven, Brady eight, Tua nine. That's eye-opening, but he's underperforming. Stafford 10, Dak 11, and then Baker actually rounds out 12. He's tied there with Matt Ryan. Baker significantly underperforming by 9.8. points per game. Notably, that's not even in just touchdowns, right? You could say like, hey, oh, you know, he's just a couple of touchdowns under. He's not. He's actually under in, you know, by over 100 yards or about 100 yards and the like there. So not great performances there for him. Again, it's only a couple of games for him in that sample too. So it's that. Yeah, it feels a little bit different, but being 100 yards under expectation in two games, like that's something that, again, points to some of the concerns that we've had, I think, you know, this season generally. There's another example of a quarterback that, like, hey, let's not buy too soon on. And he's a good example of that. I mean, he's the cautionary tale. And now we're kind of in a spot where, hey, he's 14th in expectation, but way below that in terms of actual production. Not what we want to see. Stafford's performed, it's been a little up and down this season. Like, it started off pretty well, and then, you know, he had the picks this past week. He's got 9 touchdowns expected, 4 picks in the past 4 games. So I think 3 of those were this past week. So it was 8 touchdowns and, what, 1 interception the prior, you know, few games. Prior 3 games, I guess, in that month-long sample there. So, again, take this one as a bad one, and hopefully it comes back out better. But, you know, you like that quarterback one production at what wasn't a quarterback one cost. So, you know, it's a top 10 production at, like, somewhere in the 10 to 15 cost. You know, that's hitting or surpassing expectation. And, honestly, that's exactly what you're hoping for. Some of the guys that were sort of in that range that are sort of underperforming in terms of expectation. Burrow, for one, is down at 19th in terms of expectation. He's higher, 20 points expected per game. He's at 25.9 actual points per game. So good overperformance there. That's by about a touchdown. When you look at the scoring, it is mostly yardage that's over. He's over the yardage by about 300 yards over those 4 games. So good performances there for him. Zach Wilson, again, popping in at quarterback 20. You take out some of the spot starters in that range. You know, that's definitely much more middle quarterback 1, middle quarterback 2, almost even high-end quarterback 2 in terms of that expectation. So he's one that I think's interesting for a lot of a lot of what we want to do. You know, do we think he's a longer term buy? I mean, I'm really interested in taking some shots. I know he is at the bottom of the position in terms of In terms of PFF grade, for example, he's at the bottom of the position. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, 11 interceptions on the season so far. He has the worst PFF grade. He's actually the highest graded runner of the rookie quarterbacks here with any sort of sample. His big time throw percentage is the lowest. He's just below Davis Mills in terms of turnover-worthy plays. It takes a ton of time to throw. Big percentage of his pressures turn into sacks, quarter of them. That's him and Davis Mills are the worst at that stat in this class. So you sort of get the idea. Like, there's not necessarily a ton I would hang my hat on with him, other than to say I think that you can get some maybe a little bit of a discount on a profile. I think next year is going to have to be a big leap. And, you know, he missed some time with Elijah Moore. He hasn't had a full complement of weapons. I'm not making excuses for him, just to say that I think if you can get a substantial discount on where he was going, you know, he was going mid-first in rookie drafts last year. If you can get late first or even a second-round rookie pick, maybe a couple of seconds, that's a great way to make an investment in that. You know, we talk about how do you make – you know, I don't love to make a lot of bets in unproven guys at the quarterback position, but how will I do it? Like, I'll take a discount bet on a guy that's not proven for sure. I just don't want to pay his normal cost for it. That's a good example of a player that I would do that with. Davis Mills is another one I think is interesting from a long-term perspective. How do we view him? Probably not particularly well, but they don't have a ton of options really to adjust the position. Maybe they could draft somebody. I would say Davis Mills came in with a decent amount of pedigree, so maybe there's, in terms of, you know, college pedigree, right? Recruiting pedigree, that sort of thing. Perception in the dynasty, in the football marketplace before he entered college. A lot of name cachet. And then disappointed and honestly fell in the draft. And then lands up in Houston. Do I think that he's going to be a long-term starter? Probably not. Has he earned the right to potentially get the chance to see some more more work? Maybe, but again, we go back to the example of Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins and sort of how these situations happen. Well, it's typically by accident, or you played like over your totally way overperformed expectation and your performance when you got the opportunity. And that's really the thing with him. He hasn't done that. So I think his opportunity would more come by the fact that there's not a huge supply of quarterbacks in this class. That's, I think, the difference. So that would be something to potentially watch for. I'm interested in long-term sort of how they treat him. If he can win a couple games here down the stretch and do a little bit better performing, you could potentially see him at least have a fighting chance at a job next year. I'm not saying he's going to get it or anything like that, but I think that's an interesting scenario. And heck, he's the median yards per attempt quarterback in this rookie class so far. So even if it doesn't necessarily work out as a long-term start for him, I think it's a good showing on him to come to battle through what he's battled through this year. Some additional comments here. I'm recording this in the midst of Monday Night Football. It just amazes me how much Miami has to hide Tua, or they choose to. It always gives me a lot of caution when that's the case. I'm sort of hoping you're not in the position of needing to start him. Listen, he's ninth in terms of, you know, of real starters. No offense to Tyler Huntley and Andy Dalton, but actual every week Plan A starters over the past 4 weeks with 22.1 expected points. Again, ninth. You can't convince me that I feel top 20 confident in him in a given week. And I mean, I just, as a dynasty asset, I don't love that. As a starting quarterback, I don't love that. So that one just gives me a lot of pause. Some other ones here. I think a guy like Ryan Tannehill, over the last four, he's averaged 20 a game in terms of expectation, but he's at 14.3 actual points per game. That's just without A.J. Brown, without a healthy Julio, with really no I mean, really one of the worst supporting casts in the league. I think it's probably the easiest way to say it. It's just not a very good supporting cast. And, you know, as a result, you just, he's held back by that to, you know, to essentially a touchdown per game pace. And it's a little bit less than that, but you get the idea. Like, it's, that's a lot of being held back. So, you know, maybe next year, you know, I'm not writing him off yet as a, you know, high end quarterback two in his career, you know, maybe even a low end running quarterback one, you know, with a good set of weapons and all that. But just this iteration is very difficult because he just doesn't have a ton to work with. Some other guys here, Derek Carr, is, you know, lower end quarterback two. He's actually playing behind Roethlisberger in terms of expectations the past month, which when you consider that is pretty wild. He's actually playing a touchdown worse than Ben Roethlisberger per game in terms of scoring. That's pretty bad. Russell Wilson also behind Ben Roethlisberger in terms of scoring, in terms of both expectation and actual scoring the past month. That's pretty troubling. Trevor Lawrence is 10 points below his expectation. One of the worst performers at the situation, him and Baker, amongst the worst performers at the position in that metric. You know, I don't feel great about trusting a guy like Mac Jones either at this point. He's almost that bad in terms of that. Because he's 29th in expectation. He's averaged 6.2 points per game over the past four. And then it's 6.3 for Trevor Lawrence. Jimmy Garoppolo, a couple of notes here. Jimmy Garoppolo injured his hand, and it was a finger. And there's going to be some question about whether or not he can play. This could be a Trey Lance spot start. I don't feel great about playing Trey Lance in a spot start to play a championship game. I am skeptical, I guess, or realistic would probably be the right word, that may be a necessity. As I sit here and record on Monday night, by the time the end of the week rolls around, COVID and some of the stuff, like the cases still have stopped going up in terms of the Monday reports. At some point, we're going to get some herd immunity amongst teams where it just can't keep going up like this. But yeah, I mean, this is like, it's a very real possibility that you haven't started Trey Lance all year and that you may have to start him in your playoffs. So be on the watch for that. Looks like you should get Jared Goff back as well, so that'll be good. I think someone of Tyler Huntley or Lamar should be back as well, so you're probably not going to spot start Josh Johnson again. So that's that. I wouldn't trust anyone in Carolina, whatever the hell they're doing at the quarterback position. That doesn't seem like a good solution. Notably, despite some of the ridiculous stuff that's going on in Carolina, Tyler Heineke is actually performing worse than both of those guys in terms of expected points. So I think that's a kind of an indication for us that it's probably coming to an end for him as a starter. They need to figure out the position. And I think they have ways to address it too, whether it's in the draft or some mock to them. You know, they're going to draft in a range where there should be quarterbacks available to them. You know, there might be other options out there as well, whether that's a free agent market, trade market, that sort of thing. So, but I'm definitely interested to what they'll do here over the next, call it 12 months at the position, 12 to 18 months. Cause this might be another, I mean, listen, if they think they have some sort of shot at a solution with him, or, you know, maybe they don't like what they've got, you know, they kind of go the Jalen Hurts route. I could see something like that happen, but, I think it's much less likely for Heineke unless he turns it around pretty substantially. So that'll pretty much do it here in terms of some of the snap reactions. That's just my reaction to the expected point stuff here. Again, just kind of setting the landscape for you. You're probably not facing a ton of these decisions. I think this conversation would be more interesting when you can trade and do that, especially at the quarterback position, because there's just not a ton of like questions about what you're going to do each week. You just have a limited amount of players. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode, and good luck in your week 20, or excuse me, in your week 17. Feels like week 20, but week 17. Till next time, continue perseverance. We'll talk again very soon.